5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America.
One show at a time.
Are you ready to get on board?
They don't got abortion clinics at the border. They're telling us, as American women, specifically Black American women, we need to abort our children. But if you coming across the border with your baby, oh, come to the land of milk and honey. Joe Biden even said, I'll give illegal immigrants coming across the border $400,000 apiece. Can you imagine if they were to go to that Black single mother living in the hood, offer her $40,000? You know why they'll never give us that? Because they know that we'll never need them again. Welfare reminds me of an old man I used to date who would never marry me, right? But whenever my bills were due, I would tell him he would give me just enough. Because he knew that every month the rent was due that I would have to come back to him. He wouldn't give me $100,000 and say, here, baby, bump that, go buy you a house and start you a business, because then he felt like I wouldn't need him. The government system is the same way when it comes to Black Americans. They'll never give us enough to get over and get up. It's only enough to make sure we continue to come back every 30 days so that we can remain slaves to their system.
3 hours of bold truth and excellence. This is the Wendy Bell Radio Program.
It is our third and final hour of the week of the Wendy Bell Radio Program, and it's always one of my favorite times because I get to bring on our national security expert, John Guandolo. John served the United States as a Marine. He served as a federal agent, worked undercover in the FBI, and then branched out and has taught us so much about understanding communism and the jihadi threat that exists in the smallest level, like smallest little neighborhoods in our country. John is joining us now. Welcome back, sir. You want to talk specifically today, if I'm not mistaken, about the FBI. Why is that?
Well, there is so much going on, not to mention the least of which is I'm currently, you know, people are writing about the fact they think on January 6th I was somehow working for the FBI against the, you know, the American citizens who are freely expressing their views in Washington, D.C. But really, I want to talk about the FBI and how they are, on the one hand, currently, the FBI is saying we're concerned about serious threats of Hamas and other jihadi attacks in the United States. And at the same time, the president and the FBI are working with Hamas organizations, and the Biden White House has said they're getting ready to meet with Hamas leaders in Chicago, which is the hub, the headquarters for Hamas in the United States. It's the incongruity of it all. If you didn't realize, they're liars and deceivers. So that's really, I think, how I want to start the conversation today.
Well, let's go. I want to talk about this Chicago meeting. Why on earth? And I don't know if this is getting a whole lot of play, though we did find an article on CNN, and it says this headline, White House officials expected to meet with Arab and Muslim leaders in Chicago Thursday. So tell me what red flags go off in your mind here?
And I'll tell you that the first thing that pops in my mind, and again, for your listeners' benefit, Chicago is the hub for Hamas in the United States. Remembering that Hamas is an inherent part of the Muslim Brotherhood, and that when the Muslim Brotherhood settled initially in the United States, they settled in Michigan, Indiana, and Illinois. And so there's a reason that those three states are overrun with jihadis, but specifically in Illinois, Chicago became the hub for Hamas, which is an inherent part of the Muslim Brotherhood, and I'm repeating that for a reason. Now, go back 14 years to when Sheikh Khalifa Mustafa, a senior U.S. Hamas leader from the Chicago area, was a part of the Chicago group that went through the FBI Citizens Academy. 14 years ago, which means they got a tour of FBI headquarters, and they did. And by the way, we know this because an ABC reporter from Chicago, the affiliate, was part of the Citizens Academy. They went to, got a tour of the FBI headquarters, they got a tour of the FBI Academy, and they got a tour of the National Counterterrorism Center. And the in the article that was written about that, the article specifically said Sheikh Khalifa Mustafa asked very detailed questions about the inner workings of the National Counterterrorism Center. And of course he would, because he was Hamas. And we, myself and a couple of my colleagues, blew this story up, and it had a big spread in Breitbart. And, of course, then after the story came out, people who worked in the National Counterterrorism Center reached out and then said, and then a follow-on article was written, that they had to literally shut down their systems to allow Khalifa Mustafa into the National Counterterrorism Center because he was on watch lists. Why? Well, because he's a Hamas leader in America. Here's the point. The FBI was contacted by a colleague of mine, Patrick Poole, and was asked, why would you allow a Hamas leader to do this, to be part of your Citizens Academy? And their response was, he's a respected member of the Palestinian community in Chicago. So this is the FBI. This is the same FBI who's the three Muslim organizations that is on their homepage as their outreach partners are 100% are Hamas Muslim Brotherhood, Muslim Advocates, the Adams Center in Sterling, Virginia, and the Muslim Public Affairs Council. Those are all Muslim Brotherhood Hamas organizations. So it is no surprise that the White House is probably, with some assistance from the FBI, going to meet with, quote, Arab, Muslim, and Palestinian leaders in Chicago, but that's not who they are. They are going to meet with Hamas leaders in Chicago.
How does this factor in, do you believe, to Chuck Schumer yesterday saying that Israel needs to elect a new prime minister?
Well, I think Chuck Schumer has demonstrated he can say one thing out of one side of his mouth and another. Same Chuck Schumer that is trying to get federal funds for the Muslim American Society, which is a Muslim Brotherhood Hamas group. So Chuck Schumer supports Hamas. Chuck Schumer supports the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood. Chuck Schumer supports terrorists. And he can say whatever he wants, but his actions demonstrate that he is pro-Hamas and not in support of Israel, or quite frankly, anything that's not that.
Why, though? Why? What's in it for these people? Why are they in bed? Why have they been in bed sleeping with them for so long? What's in it for them?
Well, I think what's in it for them is money, because if you look at who donates to these folks, you will find that these groups and individuals that support these groups and individuals that specifically do not support Israel and do not support liberty and causes of liberty are the ones donating to these people. The people that support death and destruction, people that support Planned Parenthood, people that support nation states that are hostile to the United States, people that support policies that are hostile to the United States are the people funding Chuck Schumer. And so it's money in his pocket.
And when you're talking Michigan as being one of these settling zones for Hamas, is that Ilhan Omar?
Yes.
And, Rashida Tlaib?
And a number of others, yeah. And obviously, when we look at the damage, I spoke last night in Texas to a group of patriots who want to get more organized and effective in the things going on. And I brought up the fact that Ilhan Omar had gone to several cities in Minnesota and told them that, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance is offensive to immigrants. And she got them to stop saying the Pledge of Allegiance at their city council meeting And so it took hundreds of citizens going into the city council meeting and loudly telling them, we will not stand for this. And it scared the city council to the point that they reinstated the pledge. And it's that's what it takes, is Americans standing on what is right. And usually these cowards on these city councils will collapse and they'll give in to what the Patriots want. And that's what needs to happen in many cases.
Yeah, I said earlier on the show that bullies are actually really quite weak. And they don't bank on pushback. They don't think somebody's going to fight back, John.
That's right. They're expecting American citizens to keep going along, to mask up, to shut up, to lock down, to do nothing. And we are seeing American citizens, especially those who are getting educated on exactly how corrupt and how cowardly these leaders are, and how these leaders at the city and county level, in many cases, are kowtowing to terrorists and communists. And the citizens are just tired of it, and they're not going to take it
100%. I want to talk to you when we come back after the short break, John. I got a question for you about FBI Director Christopher Wray. I think that a lot of conservatives, a lot of Republicans have lost all faith in these agencies and specifically in his leadership. I want to ask you about that and then your personal experience on January 6th. National security expert John Guandolo. Don't go anywhere. Back with our national security expert, John Guandolo. John, I want to ask you about Chris Wray in a second, but I do want to ask you about January 6th. You were there, sir, and it seems like there is this last gasp swing at the pinata. Like, this is the last thing that they can do. They've got to go after anybody who had anything to do with that day to keep it alive. And you're now in the crosshairs, but you have been, haven't you?
Yeah, I was on the TSA watch list for 19 months. I had the four S's on my ticket. So, you know, I travel quite a bit for my work. And so it was a lot of harassment for a year and a half. And it's been more than that. But I think, you know, I was there. I've spoken to you and your audience about this. Was there with a group that had a permitted spot on the Capitol grounds, right in front of the Capitol, praying for America. And, you know, now I'm taking it from both sides. We've got patriots who now somehow think because I was hanging out with a buddy of mine who's still in the FBI, that somehow I was working for the FBI. And now you've, you know, got the owner of or one of the key owners of Gateway Pundit. They published an article, I guess yesterday, you know, basically saying, repeating what one of the January 6ers is saying, is that they think I'm somehow was working for the FBI. And I mean, if you followed my work for the last 15 years, you would know how stupid that is. And I really, you know, I like the Gateway Pundit, but it shows me, you know, some of the new stakeholders that have an impact on Gateway Pundit. It sounds more like the National Enquirer than it does an objective, you know, patriot publication.
It's very disappointing. It's not surprising at all. I am surprised by the lack of confidence a lot of people in my circles have with the FBI vis-a-vis how all of this January 6th stuff has been handled. But just Christopher Wray in general, and now Jim Jordan is sending him a message saying, hey, yo, I'm going to hold you in contempt of court. If you don't come with documents that we have suggested in House Judiciary, and you don't come and you don't present them to us on this date, which is like 2 weeks away, you will be held in contempt. What's the story with this guy? Does he believe he's above the law or what? Because we pay his salary.
Yeah, he comes across as a very, you know, steady-handed individual. But remember, this is a guy that's participated in World Economic Forum events. So that right there, I think, should, rightly so, raise a question about his judgment and his indicators, but it's more than that. He's lied in front of Congress. When he was questioned by Senator Cruz about the Richmond FBI office's publication of training materials that target patriots, people that fly the Betsy Ross flag and people that have, the Gadsden flag, and people that have Mullen Lobby or Come and Get It on their stuff are targets. Meanwhile, the FBI is working with Muslim Brotherhood Hamas groups and specifically not targeting easily identified groups like the Council on American Islamic Relations, the Islamic Society of North America, the Muslim American Society, the Muslim Student Association, the Islamic Circle of North America, MGAGE, and other Hamas Muslim Brotherhood groups that are working inside the government. And they're not targeting them. But he lied and said, you know, that Richmond field office publication, that was a one-off. It was just an individual thing. And now we see, as Congress has identified and others have identified, this is going on at a much larger level in the FBI. So he lied. I think he's a bad guy.
I do too.
He's absolutely a bad guy.
Isn't that a threat to democracy, John? Because we hear a lot about, oh, it's a threat to democracy. Everything's a threat or a threat to national security. They already are.
That's right. So it's the FBI that is clicking their heels and saying, aye, aye, sir, to an attorney general and a commander-in-chief and the president that are literally targeting Christian patriots. And they're not targeting real, organized, international and national threats to the country. That these organized movements, the communist movement and the organizations I just target, that the FBI themselves has said in terrorism trials are significant threats, but we're not targeting them now. We're not prosecuting them. We're going to prosecute people that were in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, several years ago, and people who are patriots, and we're going to produce training material that says it, and then we're going to do it. And so this is tyranny. This is the stuff of Stalin, and it's outrageous, and he's at the head.
I think people are awake to this, and I think it's coming out more and more. And the frustration, John, is it never happens fast enough. I'm going to give you my last 20 seconds.
Well, I just think, as I always do, that the solution is the local citizen working at the county level. And stop worrying about everything at the highest level. Work in your county, flush these people out, and liberate your county one county at a time.
I love it. I love it, John. Thank you, sir. Have a wonderful weekend. Be safe. And ladies and gentlemen, do not go anywhere. Maybe this is why, part of the reason why we're $34 trillion in debt. $5 billion to make EV car charging stations around the country. Do you know how many we have? Oh, buckle up. It's next. So this whole fiscal thing that's going on in our country. Build back better. We're doing a great job. Let us finish the job. Welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio program, everybody. You know, you can't get $34 trillion in debt unless you really suck. And I got to tell you, these people do. Right? Go out there. You need to get the EV. Get the electric vehicle. Go. We're going to make them cheap for you. There's nothing cheap about them. Certainly not when they break down. Certainly not when you need a new battery. Certainly not when you need to put in all of the bells and whistles in order to charge them. And yet a lot of people out there, they went out and they did what the government said. We're going to be transitioning 50% of all cars by 2030 are going to be these EVs. Nobody wants them, right? There is a place for them. Let's just say nobody wants to be told they must drive one. We have an electric, like a hybrid. One of our sons drives a hybrid. It is reasonable for where he lives and how he drives, but it's dependent on so many factors. And they said, well, we're going to have all of these charging stations. Have you guys ever gone by one of the big, like in our section of the world, there's Sheetz. And I call them Sheetz Universities because they're giant, right? There's like 50 gas pumps. It's monstrous. And there's this whole bank of EV section, whatever. And there's nobody there. There's nobody charging a car there. So you're scratching your head and you're like, what are we doing? Well, it's interesting because the infrastructure plan of SUC, what, $1.9 trillion, whatever the hell it was, and $5 billion in there. $5 billion, you guys. That's $2.7 million a day for the next several years. $5 billion allocated towards, all right, we're going to put these charging stations in. Shell stations, you know, Sunoco, wherever you are, we're going to put in these areas so you can charge your electric vehicle, which nobody wants to buy. Do you guys want to know how many of those charging stations have been built with that $5 billion? Well, let me get into this Daily Caller story for you, okay? Exclusive. House Republicans demand answers on Biden admin's expensive, stalled out EV charger program. Well, why would that be? Because they've made only 8 charging stations with them. 8 in a year. What? What are we doing? Give us our money back. Stop freaking charging us for your ideas that don't ever pan out. And then there's no accountability. Nobody follows a money trail. There's no checks and balances. There's no accountability. But there are 87,000 armed IRS agents ready to sniff up your skirt to get more of your money. Republican leaders on the House Energy and Commerce Committee are demanding answers from 2 federal agencies regarding the Biden administration's lagging. Lagging is one word for it. Lagging electric vehicle charger subsidy program. Republican representatives Kathy McMorris Rogers of Washington, Jeff Duncan of South Carolina, and H. Morgan Griffith of Virginia wrote to Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg and Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm Thursday to inquire about the implementation of the National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Formula Program and the Charging and Fueling Infrastructure Discretionary Grant Program. Look, brevity is the soul of wit. The charging station bill, whatever. You know it's bad. You knew all of this was bad. You knew everything was bad when Pete Buttigieg and Jennifer Granholm were part of this cabinet. It is not a meritocracy, ladies and gentlemen. We do not hire the best and the brightest. Both of these initiatives were designed to subsidize expansion of the nation's EV charger network created by the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, also often called the bipartisan infrastructure law because some stupid Republicans went along with it. We have significant concerns that under your efforts, American taxpayer dollars are being woefully mismanaged. You think? Bing, 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 bing. $34 trillion in debt. E-I-E-I-O. I mean, like, really, how do you guys need a master's in economics to be like, Houston, we've got a problem? Despite recent award announcements, little progress has been made in the build out of electric vehicle infrastructure. On December 15th, 2023, the Department of Energy and Department of Transportation announced the opening of America's first EV fast charging stations funded through legislation, all this stuff in Ohio and New York. This announcement for merely 8 charging stations comes more than 2 years after the passage of this Infrastructure and Jobs Act. You guys and morons in Congress who are like, yeah, this sounds great. Let's force technology that's shady at best, expensive at the least, right? Let's shove it down the people's throats. Then we'll raise all sorts of money through their taxes. We'll say it's not going to cost anybody anything. If you make less than $400,000 a year, you won't see a penny. It's sort of like, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. How's that working for you guys? So good? Good. 8. 8. 8 for our bilingual friends. 5 billion equals 8. Really? Is this as good as it gets? Well, let's be equal. We'll be fair. All right? How about this? Washington Free Beacon headline. Solar company backed by $3 billion Biden loan hit with class action lawsuit. Sunova made materially false and misleading statements about its operations. God, it's like Proterra. right? The electric bus company of suck that went bankrupt after we put in billions of dollars. Well, we didn't, because I sure as hell wouldn't have voted for that crap piece of legislation. A solar company that was approved for $3 billion in loans from the Biden administration last year, again, is facing a class action lawsuit from investors who claim the company withheld troubling information about its business practices. You want to know why? Oh, how about this? The lawsuit claims Sunnova Energy, quote, made materially false and misleading statements about its operations, including its allegedly predatory business practices against disadvantaged homeowners and communities. What? The news could raise new questions for the Department of Energy's Loan Programs Office and Sunnova, you think? The DOE has been facing scrutiny over the $3 billion loan since November, when the Washington Free Beacon reported on consumer complaints that accused Sunnova of ripping off elderly dementia patients. I didn't know Joe Biden had solar panels on the White House. Too soon? Sorry. Really? The lawsuit says the inquiries led to a precipitous decline in Sunnova's stock price, which tumbled 16% the day after Congress sent a letter to the DOE questioning its loan, failed to disclose material adverse facts about its sales practices, which subjected the company to a heightened risk of regulatory and/or government scrutiny. Is there anything these people touch that doesn't turn to crap? This is why the title of today's show is Democrats Always Suck. Now, you might think that's a little salty, but it's true. What do they do that turns out well? What has been advantageous to you? What have they done that has made your life less outrageously expensive? What have they done to help your children and their beautiful minds grow educationally? What have they done to make you feel safe and secure and comfortable? How are you feeling about your savings for the future? You doing great? Everything's great? How are your adult children, the young ones in their 20s like mine? How are they doing with their savings for the first house they're going to buy? Oh, that's right. They've dashed the American dream. You know, it's in times like these that there's no other antidote to the suck than a little good news, and you deserve it. Well, I love my boyfriend, Steve Hartman, from CBS News. And he takes us to Arkansas, where a community rallies to help a legally blind man get to work. I love it.
In Cabot, Arkansas, just as the sun begins to set over the local Walmart, store janitor Bill Majalewski begins walking to work for his overnight shift. He will trek 5 miles, 2 hours, in any weather.
Pouring rain, you're walking 2 hours each way.
Yeah, I don't call out. I want to work.
He's going to go to work no matter what.
Snow?
Snow! I picked him up in 9 degrees the other morning. Let's go.
A couple years ago, Christy Conrad saw Bill out walking and offered him a ride. She got to know him, learned about his daunting daily commute, and how he's also legally blind. So she began driving him whenever she could. At least, that's how it started.
Why did you feel the need to do more?
I can't be always there, you know?
So what was your plan?
Mr. Bill's Village.
Mr. Bill's Village is a Facebook group Christy started a couple months ago. She was hoping to find just a few volunteers to keep an eye out for Bill when he's walking.
And within days, it exploded.
It caught on really quick.
And now it's like everyone's competing to give Mr. Bill a ride.
They'll click and see, is Mr. Bill out walking? Is he headed to town?
So people are just driving around the streets looking for him?
Pretty much. Just like Where's Waldo, but where's Mr. Bill? Yeah. It's nice to see.
Today, the group has 1,500 members. In fact, here comes one now.
Hey, Mr. Bill. Hello. Do you need a ride to Walmart?
Oh, certainly.
All right. Yeah. Come on, hop on in.
You always get picked up now.
Pretty much, yeah.
And it's always somebody different.
It's never the same person from one day to the next.
That's amazing.
There's a lot of good people in this world, all over the place, you know.
And on that note, here's one more good person.
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Chris Puckett is a car dealer. He wanted to give Bill a vehicle.
I wasn't aware that you couldn't drive.
But since Bill can't drive,
I'm legally blind.
I got you.
He handed the key to Christy instead.
Like, for real?
Putting the car in karma.
I don't even know what to say. Bill, go get in that front seat. Go over there.
Doing unto others. It's how they roll here in Mr. Bill's village.
Oh my gosh. There's hope for us yet. Do not go anywhere. Bad Joke Friday, coming up next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a bunch of pages sitting in front of us. I've got at least four. Brock probably has three or four, and you know what that means.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just flew in from New York, and boy, are my arms tired. I'm joking, of course. Anywho, welcome to the Comedy Club. Won't you give it up to Wendy and Brock for Bad Joke Friday?
All right, let's do it. Dr. Richard Rafferty, the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh, always is the first one in. Well, maybe that's not the case. He's always the first one we read. A 107-year-old man is in divorce court with his 105-year-old wife. The judge says, "You two want to get divorced?" The man says, "Yes, Your Honor. We've been married 87 years, and it has been torture the whole way." The judge says, "87 years of marriage? I've never had a couple married that long in this court. Let me ask you something. If it's been torture the whole way, why did you wait so long to get divorced?" The man says, "Well, we wanted to wait for the kids to die." So stupid.
Jumper Cable walks into a bar. Bartender says, "I'll serve you, but don't start anything."
Politician dies. Instead of going straight to heaven or hell, a spirit appears to him and he says that he gets to choose whether he goes. Which way? Up or down? Politician replies, "Of course he wants to go to heaven." Well, the spirit tells him that before he chooses, he has to visit both places so that each one will get a fair chance. Okay, first they go to heaven. Looks pretty nice. Big fluffy clouds, angels singing, playing some harps. Everyone seems to enjoy themselves. Politician is pleased, if a bit underwhelmed. Hell, on the other hand, is magnificent. It is the most beautiful place the politician has ever seen. Everyone there is having the time of their lives in this beautiful garden. It makes heaven look almost dull and boring in comparison. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think I'd rather go to hell. "Well, very well," says the spirit. "Turn around." When the politician turns around, though, hell appears to be completely different than it had been less than a minute ago. All the attractions are gone. Everything's on fire. The people are screaming in agony. "Oh, I don't understand," cries the politician. "This isn't what you showed me before." "Well, that was the campaign. Now you voted."
"My wife told me I had to stop acting like a flamingo.
Ooh.
So I had to put my foot down."
"My neighbor said he was too afraid to grow an apple tree, so I told him to grow a pear."
Once my dog ate all the Scrabble tiles. Mm. For days, he kept leaving little messages around the house.
"I burnt my Hawaiian pizza. I should have used Aloha temperature."
"What's faster, cold or hot?" "Hot, because you can catch a cold."
Okay. Guy walked into a crowded bar, waving his unholstered pistol and yelled, "You laughing? I have a 45 caliber Colt 1911 with a 7-round magazine plus one in the chamber, and I want to know who's been sleeping with my wife." A voice from the back of the room called out, "You need more ammo."
"I used to date a girl with a lazy eye."
"Oh."
"Yeah, it turns out she was seeing someone else the whole time."
It's so stupid, it's funny.
"Why did the little drummer boy beat his drum?" "Because his priest told him he wasn't allowed to beat anything else."
"What's the difference?
Power surge."
"What's the difference between Wuhan and Las Vegas?"
The Batwoman.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
That's not funny. There was a case of Viagra stolen from the drugstore. The police are looking for hardened criminals.
How do you put a sparkle in a blonde's eye? Blow glitter in her ear?
It hurts. A housewife called up a pet store and said, "Send me 1,000 cockroaches at once." "What in the world would you want with 1,000 cockroaches?" asked the clerk. "Well," replied the woman, "I'm moving today, and my lease says I must leave the premises in exactly the same condition I found it." That's gross.
That is gross. Two walkie-talkies got married. Oh. Heard the reception was amazing.
A man entered a drugstore and asked to see the pharmacist. When the pharmacist came out, the man said he asked if he could give him a cure for the hiccups. The pharmacist immediately reached out, slapped him across the face. "What'd you do that for?" the man asked. "Well, you don't have the hiccups anymore, do you?" "No," said the man, "but my wife out in the car still does."
How do you jump higher on a waterbed? You fill it with spring water.
What goes vroom, screech, vroom, screech? A blonde at a flashing red light.
Oh, God.
I don't even know.
A flash. She's stuck.
Oh, okay.
What do you got? Call a guy with no arms and no legs?
Matt.
What do ticks and the Eiffel Tower have in common?
I don't know. Something about them. I don't know.
They're both parasites.
A brunette says, "Have you met my identical twin sister yet?" The blonde says, "No. What does she look like?" Yes, thank you.
My boss asked why I only get sick on work days. I'm told it must be my weakened immune system.
Okay. My daughter thinks I don't give her enough privacy. At least that's what she wrote in her diary.
Why shouldn't you iron a four-leaf clover?
Why?
You might press your luck.
What's worse than finding a worm in your apple?
Half a worm?
That's right. I visited a monastery, and as I walked past the kitchen, I saw a man frying chips. I asked him, "Are you the fryer?" He replied, "No, I'm the chipmunk." That's it? It's all you got? My golf socks are wearing thin. Yesterday, I got a hole in one. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we do it every Friday, and you know, secretly inside, you love it. We love you. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you Monday. Peace.